Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the 30-Minute Cocktail Hour with Randy Gordon, only on LA Talk Radio.
The stats, math figures, poll results, and or other facts may be incorrect, as the host may be too buzzed or drunk to intelligently refer to them.
Welcome, everybody, once again to the 30-Minute Cocktail Hour. I am your host, Randy Gordon. Don't forget, 30mch.com is the website, too. Lovely Southern California night once again, as we start our program and drinking our cocktails and reviewing. I'm going to toast my guest. I have a guest tonight. That's my second guest. You should be all privileged tonight.
I'm always number two.
Never number one, right? I guess my friend Bill J. Hill.
Hello, everybody.
Legendary, bad diver Bill as well, known across the universe as the drinking scuba diver, which I think are two things you probably shouldn't do together.
Well, no, we did finally have to come up with some slogans. We're safe. We're just not that serious.
Right. Yeah. It's safe scuba diving and safe drinking, too, actually.
Yeah, but our bubbles sank. That was the other problem.
Oh, is that? So I said, Bill, you want to be on the show? And he's like, yeah. I said, well, since it is a cocktail hour, what do you want to drink? And he's a rum and your rum and coke. Is your that or vodka? Usually two things, right?
Yeah, both correct.
Yeah. So he said, Floridicana, which in the old podcast we did a long time ago, I remember getting that rum because somebody else liked it as well. This is a pretty popular rum. It is.
It is. It's from Nicaragua.
Oh, is that where it's from?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, when I went to the store to buy it, I didn't know which one you wanted. So, because there's several different ones.
Well, it depends how much money you want to spend, sir.
Well, that was the thing, too. Well, I got I want to say it was like $18 for I got the 4-year white, the Blanco,
yep.
Which is like called extra dry, which I didn't know they did rum as extra dry.
You know, the Floridicana, you do know what that means.
You're going to end up on the floor if you
drink. Yes, that's exactly correct.
I know. What does that mean?
It's the flower of the cane, the flower of the sugar cane, because rum is made from sugar cane.
Yes, right. Yes. There you go.
I think.
So have you...
I've been going to Central America for only 15 years, and my Spanish is still...
Right, you go to...
Paquito Bueno.
You know more than I do. I had that app, that Duolingo app, and I was trying to learn Spanish.
It all the time, yeah.
I was trying to so bad to learn it, and then I remember sitting around... Well, you're here in Southern California. There's a bunch of Spanish-speaking folks around.
Well, you would think Los Angeles, we should know Spanish
by
now.
But they talk so fast, it's hard to... Even if I'm starting to pick it up, I'm like, oh, yeah, I think I got it. Then you hear them, they're talking, but I'm like, oh, what in the hell?
No, well, the thing is like over time of traveling Central America, and Duolingo does help, and I've learned a lot of words. I can speak more than I can comprehend.
Yeah, I can read more than I can comprehend. Like, I can read a sign and kind of get the gist of what's going on, and I know the baños. I know where those are.
Cerveza, baños, and that's all you need.
Where I'm going to get a drink and where I'm going to pee. That's all I need to know.
A couple of white guys talking about Spanish.
So which ones have you had? Do you know which ones you've had?
As far as the Floridicana?
Yeah, which ones?
Yeah, well, that's the Floridicana, how it started for me. I didn't really know about the rum until I did one of my trips to Central America, and I flew to El Salvador, and it was one of the red eyes, so I landed there at, 7-8 in the morning, and of course, I thought I should go to the bar, and...
As one would do in El Salvador, 7 or 8 in the morning.
Right, and I would I had an hour and a half to kill. What else are you going to do with that hour? So I took the red eye, and it was one of the trips I traveled by myself, and I walked in there, and I met these two gentlemen, and I go, and I wasn't planning to talk to them. I go, I just wanted a rum and coke. Like, give me the well, just a rum and coke. I got another hour flight. I just got to get to Honduras and so forth. And they go, hey, rum and coke. And they go, no. You're not having a rum and coke. You're having a Floridicana.
Oh.
Yeah. And I was like, is that rum?
Yeah. That's some sort of one of those weird.
Bacana, do you mean cocaña?
Yeah, exactly. Is this something you cooked up in your bathtub?
Right. You want to wake up.
Yeah. Exactly. So was it straight up, or did they do coke?
No. They were cool with the coke.
Oh, okay.
But they were beyond cool and said, hey, and they go, give him the 25.
25-year-old rum?
Never met these guys before in my life.
Wow.
25-year-old rum. And I go, I'm not going to know the difference.
But yeah, because especially putting coconut. Well, if you're putting coconut in your product.
Right. Well, they said, I think they got on the rocks, give them a splash.
Like, yeah, let it drink it first.
I think the first year, so long ago, you might be right. They might have just given me a new.
I'm sure they probably did because they want you to drink it and taste it.
Or they would have punched me. I had to put coke on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, they probably would have been mad at you. So. Yeah. But you like 25. Now that's.
So my first, yes, my. Well, I'm sorry, I mean to cut you off, but my first experience with Flor de Caña was a 25-year-old.
Wow.
I've gone down since then.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's usually what I like to go for, too, are 25-year-olds. But, you know, when you're 49, you don't get a lot of those anymore. those days are long gone.
Well, it's half off. What?
You know, exactly. That's why I go for half off the entire time.
Everyone likes a sale.
That's right. So when you were drinking, that's the thing with you know, like tequilas and stuff. There are certain tequilas that I really enjoy that I wouldn't make a margarita out of.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, you would just put it on the rocks with like a lime or something like that.
Don Julio 1942, they nailed it.
Yeah. And there's people that do this, and I remember a lot of bartenders I used to talk to over the years, because we get, like, some of the places I work were, like, higher end, and they would get people going Cavassier and Coke, or, like, Louis XIV Coke.
Oh, God.
I'm not kidding you. They would
okay,
go in.
Again, I would slap those people not yeah. knowing the liquor. Oh, yeah. And these two gentlemen these two gentlemen met in El Salvador. They would have slapped right. me probably if or I would have just dumped a bunch of Coke on it.
They would get Louis XIV and they would do shots. I'm like, what are you doing? They do. You know why they do
it? Like not sipping it?
No, because it's $300 a pop. And they're doing it just because they want to look cool
and
that kind of thing. If anybody's listening live, it's 323-203-0815. The number is listed there at the latalkradio.com. And so I want to Bill and I just spent a fabulous weekend in Vegas with some friends. What are you going
to
say?
No, I'm just going to sum up the Flor de Caña experience.
Yeah.
That, because of those two guys that bought me that 25-year, I've been gone back so many times since and didn't travel by myself. I've brought my sister and my friends, and it's a tradition now.
Just for the rum?
You cannot go through El Salvador in the morning without having a Flor de Caña.
A 25-year-old Flor de Caña?
No. I told you I went down since then.
Oh, okay.
But the tradition is you have a rum and Coke at 8 o'clock in the morning through El Salvador on the way to Honduras, and I do it every single year.
But what is it?
But I do it every single year now. It's a tradition. It became a tradition.
That's good. See,
I just want to let you know that.
Well, that's how they start, though. They all start that way. They all start with like some experience like that when you're traveling. And I think that's the best thing about people should not be afraid to talk to other people when you're traveling. That's some of the most fun. Like, we had some of the great times, me, you, and our friend Jessica, sitting at the bar talking to people at the sports book when you're in Vegas, and you really meet some great people.
You know, you mentioned that while we were there, and that's exactly what I was talking about. That's what I wanted to tell you, that is that we had so much great times in such a short amount of time that these two guys, who I'll never talk to or see again, gave me a tradition that I still do to this day.
Well, and they gave you a little education on something you didn't know about.
Yeah, that's correct.
Either, you know? But how much? So in El Salvador, was it cheaper or is it expensive?
You're in an airport, you know.
Oh, well.
I didn't venture out.
It doesn't matter. All I got to say is you're in an airport, which means it's expensive as it is. So.
I have a nice flight. Yeah,
exactly. So we went to Vegas over this weekend, and the main reason was a friend of ours got us hooked on curling before the Olympics, mind you.
Make sure you say that again so people know. You're damn right, curling.
Yeah, that's right. And she got us hooked on it because she used to show it at the bar, and it was like, what? And then you started. Then I watched the U.S. and when the U.S. won the gold, and watching the Olympics, I got into it.
It's amazing,
and it's even more amazing live. And we'll talk about that in just a bit. So we went to go do that. Was the main reason we were going there, but a bunch of people were going for just some fun and stuff. And one of our favorite places, I know people from L.A. go to Vegas all the time and stuff, and you probably stay on the Strip. A lot of people stay on the Strip, which you shouldn't. You should venture out because there's some great places. Now, Bill is from Las Vegas originally. Grew up there, went to high school, graduated there. And we went to one of the places you've been going there since you were 17.
I may or may not have a fake ID.
I guess legally we should.
What, are you going to take me to jail now? Yeah. I don't think so.
Allegedly went there.
Thank you, Randy.
So there's a place that's been there 50 years called Ellis Island. And it's a brewery now and restaurant and small casino. and there's Metro Pizza, which I think is a local chain there, right?
Well, it was. Metro Pizza used to be in East Vegas, and there was originally only two of them, and it was our when high school, it was our favorite pizza place. After school on a Friday, used to go there, and that was what you did. And it's and then they ended up shutting down, and Ellis Island somehow they had one last one, and that's the only one. There might be another one, but that's the only one.
It's not even a full restaurant. It's just you can get pizza by the slice, and you can order large pizzas to go, and I think they deliver as well, don't they?
Well,
out of that place.
The delivery situation I had in Vegas is I think I ordered Domino's and got Metro. It was amazing.
Hey, you never know. That's a good thing. That's then you got to upgrade there. That was good pizza, though.
I got a neat story about Metro Pizza. When my friend was there, I'll never forget this. When you're broke, you have no money, and you order a large pizza, and you're with a bunch of friends, and you're like 14 years old, and everyone eats a slice, and everyone grabs a slice, and you realize...
There's that one slice?
No, there's... Oh. If whoever eats this slice the fastest gets the last one.
That's what I'm saying. There's that one slice left.
But it was like an unsaid thing. So everyone starts stuffing their faces with the pizza except one guy. My buddy Hugo. One guy doesn't stuff his face. He starts laughing at everybody. He grabs the pizza slice that's on the pan and licks it front to back. All the way around and puts it right back.
He's one of those dudes. Smart.
Genius.
Genius guy. Genius guy.
He got the slice.
Listen, you don't have to be... I had those experiences too, but as the youngest of five kids, and mom put dinner on the table, you better get her going, because the stuff you like is going to go fast. You know, all the spinach and all the other shit's going to be sitting there still.
Right.
The mac and cheese and all the other things, those are gone.
Right.
Those are gone.
Yeah, this asshole licked the slice. And I'm still pissed to that day because I thought it was so smart.
You know what's so funny? We used to go to Shakey's Pizza in the old Peoria, Illinois, when we were in high school, like grade school and high school and stuff, because they had the bunch of lunch. So they had the buffet.
I know Shakey's, but I don't think we did.
There's Shakey's around here, but they used to
the bunch of lunch.
It's the lunch buffet. There's pizzas and stuff out, and the Mojo potatoes and all that kind of shit. But we're all broke, so what do we want to do? So we go in there, and there's like four of us, but two of us buy plates.
So just start licking everything.
Yeah, I don't think they would like that. But two of us would buy plates, and then the other ones would go back. Because they would sell you by like the plate. They'd only give you one plate. You couldn't go up there and just take a plate. It was a different time then. So we would buy two plates and we'd just load them up and bring them back to the table. So we would, you know, two people would pay and then the rest of it. Then they got hip to that shit and they started watching and paying attention.
Yeah, so you were stealing.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was doing, stealing. Ellis Island is one of my favorites. And I think that the thing that people got to realize when you go to Vegas and you're going off the strip is the drinks are probably one-third the price that they are at the strip.
Well, yes, but when I grew up here, you never paid for drinks.
Well,
you just played nickel slots and they brought them to you.
And now that whole concept has changed too.
It's gone.
The old Vegas?
Old Vegas is dead, and I remember the day it died, but it's just different now. It's just, you know, it's such an entertainment thing, and it's nothing's to find a place like Ellis Island still around. It's pretty nice because my hometown, I left here a long time ago.
Here, you're in Los Angeles,
where am I?
By the way. You're in Los Angeles.
I'm going to leave here soon. Like, I kicked out of the studio in about 2 minutes. No, but they, you know, my town, everything's different. They blew it up and built the one that's there now. It's like, it's unrecognizable to me, except for little gems like Ellis Island.
Well, I remember the first earlier trips I took are probably at least, I want to say 15 years ago, at least, if maybe more. But even back then, it was a different, you know, it was a different city. Because I remember playing, like, you just sat down a slot machine and or at a table, and you got drinks, like, instantly.
Exactly.
And or sit at the bar, and you just put a 20 in, and you're barely playing anything, and they give you drinks. Now, they have this system. If you're playing at the bar, any of the bars, you're playing the video poker or something, you put your 20 in.
My light didn't work.
Yeah, see, there's a little, that's right. There's a little light on the back of the machine, and if it goes green, they'll comp your drink. But if it's red, and the bartender was telling me at Caesars, he said, you have to be consecutive, at least two consecutive bets. But, and now,
were you next to me when my light was out?
No, did he give you free drink anyway? Orleans, are you talking about?
No, that was at Caesars.
It wasn't working? Was he charging you?
I was 40 bucks in the video poker, and he goes, the light's not on. He had to call management and everything else to give me a Coors Light.
Oh, I didn't see all that.
Well, Jess was next to me, but you were talking to the guy who won the Masters.
Oh, right.
No, but anyway.
The guy who bet on
Patrick
Reed.
Oh, yeah, but it was a whole big thing for me to get a Coors Light. I'm like, geez. I just dropped. It's a $40 Coors Light. Can I please have it?
Yeah. Yeah, I think my I had like four drinks and they're all about $20 a piece.
Yeah. Well, that's because you got $20 in the machine.
Yeah. Well, I'm saying each drink was about $20. Yeah. That guy was funny because there was a guy there who we befriended. He was nice. That's what I'm saying. He sits at the bar. You talk to this guy. So this guy had some money on Patrick Reed, which I don't think a lot of people had money on Patrick.
Dude, I brought so many bets from LA to Vegas. Not one person picked Patrick Reed.
Nobody picked Patrick Reed to win it,
except for this guy.
Except for this guy, and so he wins the like 1470. He said something like that. Yeah. 1470.
What did we think about like a $20 bet? Probably.
Yeah. Yeah, we was 42. It was 50 to 1, so it's like $25 or $40 bet, somewhere in that range.
Yeah.
Because he went off at 42 when if you would have bet it like a day ahead, it would have been 50 to 1. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I told Bill today. So Monday morning, like at 7 a.m, I'm up, I'm down, looking for breakfast. So here's that same dude, same clothes, and
same visor,
same Titleist visor on his head, and he's at the roulette table playing roulette. So he must have been up all night drinking because he looked haggard, man. He looked like worse for wear.
That 1400's gone.
Yeah. Oh yeah, it's history. Yeah, it's long gone. But I going to like
he did buy us a round of shots though. Before
that was a nice thing. See, that's why I'm saying if you befriend people and they win, this is what happens. People buy. Look, there was one time I was sitting there. My room wasn't ready at Caesars. I was sitting there talking to a gentleman, drunk girl, who befriended two people she didn't even know. She's I was like, hey, and she's a teacher from Orange County, and she's like, hey, what do you guys? We're all drinking. We're all doing shots, and she wants to do shots of Patron, and she buys all of us who we don't know each other. And the guy next to me didn't want it, so I took his. But she bought, and she's not playing, so these aren't comp drinks. This is
she didn't need it. You were doing her a favor, maybe.
She dropped $150 or so to buy five shots of Patron or whatever it was. And I'm like, you don't even know us. That's what I'm saying. Like, Vegas is so weird like that sometimes. And if people do that for you, go with the flow.
Absolutely.
So just go with it, you know.
You got a new friend and a memory for, like, that's how many memories you have when you, like, sit at a bar and talk to people.
Yeah.
It's always brilliant.
But there is a difference, you know, talking about the bartenders and your light. And I remember at the Orleans, do you remember the Richard, the bartender there? Because he...
Was it Robert?
It was Robert. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. He was Robert. Yeah, that's
because
fine.
Because remember
yeah.
your whole...
Yeah, there was like three Roberts.
Yeah, you were Roberted out.
Yeah, it was weird. That was my father's name.
That was a thing that stuck in my head.
That was trippy for me. Like, at my bartender at Caesars, there was one guy who was Robert. He was Robert. There was
Ellis Island was Robert.
I was like, is everybody just named Robert?
Yeah, the whole town's Robert. Keep it easy.
Oh, yeah, the Scottish guy's name was Robert. That's what it was. Yeah, yeah. Robert Bruce. Not Robert the Bruce, but no. Robert Bruce.
Robert the Bruce. Yeah. Well, we'll get...
We'll get to that in a minute, but...
He was Robert the Bruce.
So the bartender, this is the difference, because the Orleans is not on the Strip. It's removed from it, you know. And it's one of the older casinos.
That would be one of the older Vegas places that I would recommend people, like you just said, good recommendation. Go off the Strip just a little bit and see some old school Vegas places.
Yeah.
And the Orleans I would put in that category.
Because here's the difference. Every time we ordered a drink, he would go, you just need to put $5 in there. That's all he said. He goes, yeah, just put $5 and I can comp it for you.
Yeah, and they never do that anymore. The light's not on.
But they don't do
that. The light's not on.
Well, I think, but you're getting one of those bigger properties that's Caesar's properties. You know, it's a big conglomerate where Orleans is a smaller, it's locals, it's a different mentality there.
Yeah, well,
I don't think there's such scrutiny in the management is what I'm saying. Whereas the management at Caesars is probably really on their ass about that kind
of
shit.
Yeah, but in growing up in Vegas, since we're on this subject, the philosophy behind that I just didn't like. When you go to Vegas, they had shows that were $9.99, buffets that are $9.99, drinks for free.
Yeah, you don't get a lot of those anymore.
No, but they enticed you to gamble.
Right.
But then when they brought in the family theme parks at the MGM, Wet n' Wild, and all the old school stuff, they brought in families. And then like, oh man, now we're losing out on the gambling. So
Then they went back to what happens in Vegas, stays in Vegas kind of mentality again.
Except I think like LA went to Vegas. Hey, if we do nightclubs.
Oh yeah. No, you're exactly
right. Why are we
right.
charging for drinks? Hey, we got a great buffet. Now shows are $300, a buffet's $80, you know.
Well, you know what it all it's now. It's not
it's not free riding.
It's not about the gambling. It's about that L.A. nightclub culture of the guys like at Omnia, the club there at Caesar. I just noticed Calvin Harris, the DJ, like he was playing there. And that guy's costing them $100,000 a night to do that friggin' show. You know, but they're bringing in all these. They want to do like Drea's on top of the Cromwell. They redid it, so they did the pool. So now it's like everything's like MGM. You're saying Wet and Wild's big pool party, and it's packed.
Well,
with a bunch of douches.
Kids. No, that was back in the when it was a.
No, no. Now it's packed with like it's DJs. Right. It's like date. It's nightclub, but in a
daytime atmosphere.
Yeah, and it's all these girls from LA, that LA kind of look and mentality, and all the like some of these kind of Jersey Shore douches and guys.
You know what? I always thought like when your parents say like I'm old and this and that. I think I got old because in Vegas, I could tell you the day Vegas died, and if we have time for that story. Mm-hmm. But a similar story to that is I put $60 in the poker machine, right at a bar, uh-huh. right, and he gives me a couple free beers, and that's great. And I'm like, shoot, I just lost $60. And I had two beers. I'm like, can I get another beer? And he goes, $1.75. And I think to myself, Vegas is gone. Yeah. And I go, you know what?
You would have been better not putting the money in the machine and just paying the $1.75.
Well, of course, Randy. But here's how stupid I am. It's my fault I lost the $60. But you're going to charge me. You know what? I'm going to leave here not mad that I lost the $60 and gave it to you, the salary and everything else. I'm going to be mad here because you charged me $1.75 for my beer. And that's what I'm going to remember about Vegas. And that's what I don't
want. And it still sticks in your craw to this day.
What?
It sticks in your craw. As they say, that's the old saying.
Oh, I don't know.
It means you're still. It's still on your mind.
It's still on your mind
20 years
because
later.
Because, again, that's a philosophy. Yeah. Vegas used to be the other way.
Right.
Give me all the free booze. Let me lose all the money. And I leave happy.
Well,
and I leave like, oh, man, what a great time.
Yeah.
Because I drank for free.
I think their thing, the drinking, I think they went with the clubs and stuff. But the other way that they try to compensate for the drinking is the rooms. Like, now they're all... They do this weird thing where it's like, oh, it's a free room, but it's not a free room because they do the, they all started, not all of them used to do it. They do the resort fee, which is like $35 a night.
Yeah,
so it's never a free room.
Jess and I ran into that too.
Yeah.
Yeah. My $55 room cost me $480.
Well, that was from a bunch of $2 beers. That's a lot of $2 beers too, by the way. Yeah, $2. So there's $2, by the way. So people, here's the story. They're at the pool. They're $2.
You might have
Coors
to finish
lights.
One of these stories.
Yeah, there's $2 Bud Lights and
you need $2 some more Florida Cognac.
Yes, please. Here, while you're over there.
All right,
here, I'll give that to you. All right. So they're $2 beers at the pool.
What day are we on in this story?
Well, in any of the days, they're $2 beers.
Okay.
And
at
so
the pool.
there's maybe 4 or 5 people max drinking the $2 beers, give or take. And her friend's just like, well, just here, charge it to the room. Okay, blah, 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 all right. And they put down a cash tip, which you should. And so then when the bill comes at the end of the day, they're like, holy crap. It's like with the room charges, the cleaning fees, and this other stuff, it's $400. So half of that is $2 beers. It's like how many beers are you going through for, you know, $2, which is it's just kind of funny. Yeah, well, that's the thing. You don't realize... This is a good show for people
to not go to Vegas.
I think to give people advice.
Come on, how many memories we have? That was a joke. We had a blast.
But I think we should take. We'll just take like 5 minutes here or so, and we're going to give some people advice. Mm. If you've never been to Vegas, this is really serious, really good advice.
I think.
There's a few things to remember. So the things you don't think about. We were talking about tonight. Okay, so maybe you get a comp room or something, you get it really cheap, that's great. Now, remember, to get around in Vegas, unless you want to walk 600 miles at 95 or 100 degrees, you're going to pay for an Uber or a cab to go anywhere. And remember, you take one Uber to a place, you got to take it back.
Yeah.
So, and each one of those, what, would you say $8 to $12, $13?
Oh, yeah. From when we went to the Orleans from the condo or Caesars, they were about $12, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, and that's a short trip.
And if there's 3 of you, I mean, come on, that's...
Right, but what you got to understand is, like, you, over the course of a 2-3 day weekend...
It adds up.
It adds up. So you're talking about $150 just to get around, probably, in the city. So you got to kind of keep that in mind. My advice is always to keep, is to bring a card... Like, you know, a $300, at least have $300 on the card and just do nothing but Uber, cab, all that kind of stuff.
For your transportation.
Yeah, for your transportation. So you don't have to worry
about it.
That's
a good idea, man. That's a really good idea.
I think that's smart.
Good advice. This is the advice section.
See, this is the advice section of the 30-minute cocktail hour.
That's a great advice, actually.
Yeah.
Because I don't even know if I can get an Uber anymore.
Why? Because you lost your phone?
Well, there's a couple stories. I might have my Uber rating lower than it used to be.
Did it really? Do you know your Uber rating now?
No, I don't. I'm scared to look.
Oh, I don't know if it is.
I was in Vegas for 4.5 days. Yeah. Why would I look at my Uber rating?
That's right. It could go down.
I lost my cell phone in one, spilled a drink in another.
Well, and here's the other advice, too. So it depends on your time when it comes to the travel as well, between Uber and a cab. Uber is available, but Uber is sort of a pain in the ass to get sometimes when you come out of a casino. So if it's the end of the night, forego the extra $3 or whatever it is and just jump in a cab. You will save yourself a headache of then trying to find an Uber to take you to the next place.
You know what,
or
Randy?
Take you home.
Randy, you taught me that this trip. When I got to the airport, my phone wasn't working and my Uber wasn't coming, and he canceled his trip, and I gave him $30 cash just to take me to where I needed to go.
Right.
And I didn't realize, like cabs are, like, gone here in L.A., and they're gone in Vegas pretty much. But the benefit of taking a cab definitely was when we would walk out somewhere and there's a cab waiting, you don't have to Uber it, wait for it, find it. You just hop in a cab, go, you have cash, and you're done.
And the other thing is that I've noticed it's changed over the years since Uber and Lyft has come around, is that the taxi stand line is a lot shorter than it used to be. It used to be sometimes, like if it's midnight or 1 o'clock in the morning, it's really long. But a lot of people Uber, so it's gotten shorter. But I would say always leave, money for that. That's why I say, like, take the credit card and just do nothing. But every cab, you can do that. You can do a credit card.
Yeah.
There's a little upcharge to it, but it's a great way so you don't have to worry about your cash in your house. But always have cash on you, which is always a good thing.
Well, right. And I just want to comment on, like, the Uber. When Uber came out, I thought it was such a great thing. And cabs, why would you have a cab? Uber, you got their name. It's safer and all that. And I don't have to, like, I'm not like a pro Uber guy. But I never thought there'd be a benefit of a cab. But in Vegas, there is. Because, boom, you walk out, you get in one, you pay cash.
Because there are thousands upon thousands of cabs in Las Vegas. And they all do the same thing. They drive up and down the strip and to the airport. That's the only places they go. You know, and the other thing is, don't forget that there's, the bottled water, I think, is the. That's one of my keys that I tell people. I tell people to say, bring bottled water with you as much as you can to your room, and also Clif bars or stuff like that. So when you wake up in the morning, you can have, and here's another trick. So a lot of places will charge you for coffee, but a lot of places have the Keurig machines in the room. Like this year, I brought my own pods, the little Keurig pods.
Oh, your little
Keurig. And my own little paper cups.
You probably saved $2,000.
I saved myself $40.
No, I said $2,000. I was just...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Exactly.
But there's some tips to it. There's ways to do Vegas cheap, But there's also things to, like, that saves you the headache and you enjoy your time more than the hassle. And just knowing that, hey, there's CVS's right there, too. You can There's a bunch of those places. Then use the ATM there because it's a $2 fee, not a $9 fee if you got to get money out, stuff like that.
Yeah, I think those are all cool. And I like the idea of, like, before you go to your room, stock it up for yourself for that or whoever you're with. And then that way you're not, like, paying all the upcharges.
Well, yeah, and the thing with Vegas being so dry, you need the water. You got to bring bottled water because Vegas, people don't realize, if you come from the Midwest where you got a lot of humidity and stuff, and you're sleeping and you got a bunch of boogers in your nose because it's drier as a popcorn fart, as they used to say. But anyway, so those are our tips. Those are my tips for it. But I want to talk about men's curling championships. I got to tell you. So it was the finals.
Which was one of the reasons we were going to meet our friend there.
Yes. So this is the international. Now, the U.S. team is there, but it's not the Olympic team. And the Canadian team that's there is not the Canadian Olympic team either. It's a different...
Wasn't that because they were on, like, another media tour because they had... the men's...
No, the USA team, the guy...
They showed up and did autographs or something.
Yeah, but they were telling me the guy that... I sat next to a Canadian guy who played curling for 19 years, which is really cool because they got a lot of information about the sport. But he was saying that the U.S. was smart because they kind of put together an all-star team for the Olympics.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's not the same team that goes around right now. So the finals were Canada and Sweden. At the Orleans Arena, which is a good venue. I don't know, maybe 5,000 seats, maybe, if that, I would say.
I don't know. It might actually hold a little bit more because a lot of those seats were pulled back and stuff. Depends on the event, probably.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And it was a sea of red and white.
Oh, yes.
It was 90% Canadian.
Except for...
Yeah, right. Except for this one section. I'm going to put these pictures. I have pictures from this event, so I'll put those out at the 30mch.com. You'll see all the pictures when I do the post of this podcast and the blog. So, there was this little section, and it looked like being at a college football game or basketball game because there were younger folks. Their faces were painted. They're in the IKEA colors, which my friend Jessica, I go, wow, they are the same colors as IKEA. And Jessica's, that's because that's the national colors of Sweden. Oh, that's right. I think I've been drinking. I don't know.
At one point, you tried to do an IKEA chant, and I went, I don't know if anyone gets that.
I know. But it was so good live, though.
Oh,
it's really hard to articulate like the difference when you see it on TV, and then you're seeing it live, and the speed of the rock, when the stone, when they're throwing it, because it's either really precise speed, or when they're doing it to clear something out, that thing is flying down that ice.
Yeah. And not, you know, you say the speed of that part of it, the speed that impressed me was how quickly, when there's not like a break, how quickly one person goes and the next person. Like unless it's a hard shot that they have to figure out and have a meeting about.
Right.
Man, they're throwing. I thought that was cool as well.
Yeah. But the precision, you don't understand it because watching on TV, you don't get it until you're there live. The precision when they do a thing where they do a double where they'll just bam bam, they'll take the rocks out.
There was a guy named Bam Bam.
He's a Canadian skip.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, they call him Bam Bam because that's what he does. And then the Swedish guy though, that one, there was a setup where there was two Canadian stones with one Canadian stone was in between these two Swedish ones, and there was another Canadian like to the left of it, but far on the other side, like the 8 foot ring. This guy threw it down there, knocked the first one clear between his two team stones,
right.
And then it flew over and hit that other one out. It was the most. I mean, even the Canadians were clapping because it was just really impressive.
And both teams clapped for each other when it was a great shot. Very respectable and honorable game.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, that was the other thing too. Is there's that sportsmanship that you really see in this?
Yeah,
because at the end, remember at the end. When they were up 5-1 or something, and we're at the eighth end,
got their asses kicked.
They did. They did. Well, I think they missed two shots, as somebody was saying, that probably would have changed things
around. Once
that
Canadian went short of the line, like early on when I saw that, I'm like, okay, it's one mistake. That one mistake, they never recovered.
Yeah. And then once you get up to a certain point level, and it's only so much time left, you know, so many ends
left.
And then they said, we have to play eight of them. And once they played the eight, they shook each other's hands and said, yeah, this is it. They didn't play all 10. You know, they were like, this is.
No, and that's what I appreciate about you talking to that guy and learning more about the game than I know was when the Swedes just threw the rocks past the button and everything. I went, why are these throwing it away? Because they're just going to knock theirs out. They're just going to be even.
They don't want any stones out there. They don't want to put any in play.
But that's something I didn't know. But that was a thing like in golf, like the Masters.
Yeah.
If you're at the last hole and the last thing and you're still you're not away, you putt out to let the guy who's going to win.
Yeah, so Rory did that so Patrick Reed could have his
exactly
last two.
Exactly right. And that's what I felt about the curling guys when Sweden did that. I felt the same way a golfer would do to putt out. Let the guy have the stage, and that's what they did.
Well, I tell you, all those fans, I mean, even those ladies behind us were the greatest. They were, and what they say about
Betty, her name was Betty, one of them.
Is that her name? What they say about Canadians being polite is so true.
Absolutely.
I thought it was just a stereotype, but
you got to throw an A in there. Okay.
But they did that too, though.
Oh,
A. I thought that was a stereotype, but everyone we were talking to, they're like, oh, A? Yeah. Or out? Or they go out?
But I think that, like, we don't say that. We don't say AA. And, like, I think someone said, no, we don't say that. People think we say that, and they go, we don't say that, eh? No, we just said it. You just said
it. No, but that it was. I think they said that we just say it every other word.
No, I know. Hey, my sister-in-law's Canadian. She never says A, so who knows?
Oh, she does?
I think it depends. Canada's such a huge country. It depends probably where you're at.
Well, yeah. I guess there's, you know, just different dialects.
You think L.A. people speak the same as, you know?
No, because everybody from
Chicago or New York or something? Of course
not. That's because half the city's not from here. So
okay, we're different here in L.A.
L.A. is a little different that way. But I thought that the game, the most intriguing, one of the intriguing things to me about the sport was that when you're there live, you felt like you're at a sporting event. But it felt like you were watching a cross between a sporting event and a chess match at the same time. Because you see all that strategy that was going on, and But it's like an open discussion. That was what's funny. Like, you couldn't have that open discussion in front of another team in any other sport. You know? And football, you couldn't, you know.
Yeah.
Elway couldn't be up there going, okay, John, you go do a button hook. You're going to do a cross slant, like, at the line, yelling it out so they know, everybody knows where it's going.
No, every team's trying to get the other team's, you know, playbook.
Right, right. But these guys are right. And, like, because the other, that's the thing about it. The other team sort of knows.
But you know what? They might be messing with their heads, too, and think they're going to do this and that. Yeah. I think it is a chess match.
You think so? You think it's a little bit of gameplay?
I think they're that good, yes.
That they're kind of...
The psychological factor of going, right. Hey, we're going to hit it here, do this. And then they have like a
little wink, code, wink. Or
wink, wink. Right, no, we're not.
Right. If I put my broom here.
Right. He's going to think I'm going there.
Yeah, right.
I don't know. I'd like to think so. I could be completely wrong.
I don't know. I think that the game is such that... we got a caller from another. Let's take our caller here. You're on the 30-minute cocktail hour.
Hello?
You got to turn down your radio if it's listening to it live. It'll be a delay. You got turned
okay.
Down. Yeah, hello, who is this? Hello?
Hello, hi.
Yeah, turn down. If you're listening to it, you got to turn it down so there's a delay.
All right. Okay.
All right. Yeah. Eric?
Yes.
We recognize the voice. How are you, sir?
Good, good. How are you?
I'm good. We're calling in. Are you going to call in and brag that you won a poker tournament that I was in, that I was out in 30 seconds?
No. I want to talk to Bill about Glenn.
Sure, go ahead.
Thursday
night curling.
Well, see, now I went to the Thursday night match because we are talking about curling tonight, and I was at the Thursday night match with Eric, the USA versus Canada, and I met not just Glenn but the entire section.
What, Eric, you didn't meet anybody there? You can go.
No. So I was there with Bill, and Bill's cell phone was missing.
Oh, right.
That's I may or may not have left it in an Uber.
That's right.
There's five of us watching the curling, and then there's a row of Canadians in front of us. And Bill was a little bit of a heckler. He was all in good fun. He was talking to this guy Glenn, and then there's three women with Glenn, and
did he just
tackling them, and then he at one point he left.
I had 16 minutes to get my cell phone.
Get his cell phone.
So Eric, what did you think of watching it live compared to the TV? It's completely different, isn't it?
Yeah, it's completely different. Number one is, you know, we were pretty close. I mean, essentially, I would say probably like less than 25 feet away from the ice.
Yeah.
Because the arena was so small.
And did you you notice that speed of that rock, isn't it?
Absolutely. Well, and like you were saying before, the precision, right? So,
yes.
So, you know, you have the skip throwing the stone down the ice, and you got these guys sweeping, and you probably watch it on TV and think, oh, well, that's not a real sport. Anyone can do that. But in reality, if everyone could do it, we would be, and we're not. So
right, exactly. Yeah, that's exactly right. You see the in a sense athleticism, if you will, or the skill level, I should say.
Well, come on, they got what the moms say. We'll talk about, but the rubber legs, the way they flex and roll, and it's precision, and it's really an athletic.
So overall, did you enjoyed it, Eric, when you went?
Oh yeah, it was fun. I wish I would have went with you guys on Saturday when you saw the other matches.
Yeah, that was it was Sunday night game. But
I went to the Sunday championship.
No, that's what he meant.
Oh yeah, Sunday. Yeah, that was fun, and I think that was the difference too. When you guys were there, there was four going on at once, right?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, they were. Yeah.
So I guess it depends on which one you want to kind of watch.
It was like Sweden, Japan, and.
So was it confusing, though, to watch, though, because there's four of them in front of you? Did you find it confusing, Eric?
Eric, did you find it confusing?
No, no. Well, I mean, I think we were mostly focused on the USA-Canada match.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I would say the same
thing.
We're
probably like 10 Americans or maybe 15 Americans in the audience and probably, 2,000 or 3,000 Canadians.
Oh,
so,
okay. Well, great.
And why wouldn't you want to go to Vegas from Canada when it's like 20 degrees there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and the Canadians were so nice. They were nice. I thought everybody we met was very nice. And all right, well, thanks for calling, baby.
All right, thanks,
Eric.
Tell Glenn I said hi.
We'll talk to you soon. So, yeah, what Eric was saying though is I guess when you're focused, and that was the difference for me because I didn't see any of the four ones, like when there was four teams playing. So yeah. There was just one thing to watch, one thing to focus on, which is probably different because there's so much activity, and you'll hear probably hearing cheers for the other teams, and you're not sure what's going on, you know, because you're focused on one.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't stay the whole USA-Canada match on Thursday, but it was a lot more going on.
Right.
But they also set it up where, you know, if you watch one team, but that's made it more fun, is like there's stuff going on kind of everywhere, and there's, you know, all the teams that you want to root for or whatever.
I guess it's the equivalent of going to a track meet. You never remember, like, in high school, you go to a track meet, and there's, like, running going around, and there's people over here throwing a shot put, and there's
right,
somebody
like
over here.
Like a gymnastics match where there's the yeah, exactly. But the thing was, is when the curling is, all the ice is set up, you know, all the same.
No, that was the thing. When you were watching the four games, was there kind of like in bowling where you don't throw the skip at the same time the person next to you throws a skip? Or throws a stone?
There may have been that, but I don't.
You didn't notice it, recognize it?
I didn't recognize that as much as I would.
Okay.
Like bowling, you're not supposed to bowl next to the person.
Right, you don't want to bowl the same time as they do. So.
I'm sure. Listen, from what I know about curling, they seem very respectable and stuff like that, so I assume so.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
We had such a great time, and that was the greatest thing. And we got to meet one of the curlers, which was really cool. So we go out, and this is at the Orleans, and they have an arena, and then you have to walk a mile and a half to the actual...
16 minutes, Randy, 16 minutes.
Yeah, to the bar. So we sat at this, to one of the center bars there, and we're just sitting there, and we're getting there. They had these souvenir. I have a picture of one of these, too. It's looks like a curling stone. They filled it full of booze, which was kind of fun.
It is a curling stone.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
I've used them.
And it would mess you up. But so we're sitting there, and here comes this older couple, I'd say in their 60s probably, and 50s or 60s, and he's got on the full kilt, the full socks, and I think it's called a tambour, whatever, that little purse thingy in front of him.
And the shoes and the...
Yeah, the shoes.
Even his shirt wasn't like the
whole thing,
but it was still the deal.
Yeah, I think he had just like a button-down collared shirt kind of thing.
No, but that was what you put under the thing, but he didn't wear the outer part.
So
he had the whole thing. Yeah.
That was Robert Bruce, who started talking to him, and they're like, oh, yeah, they're from Scotland. And, so we're talking to him, and they go, well, our son is the skip on the Scottish team, which got bronze. And he's a young guy. He's like 20-something, 21 or something like that, maybe.
Yeah, he looks pretty young.
He looked really young. And he had a nice blazer. I don't know, is that a team blazer?
Yeah, they all wore them. Yeah,
oh,
the whole suit from head to toe.
Yeah, because they were having a big dinner afterwards. So we're like, and he goes, and we were talking about Scotland and my family history and stuff. And then his son was, you know, started at 7 years old to do this. And this is his first time ever playing, and he made the team, and he's the skip. And like, you can see the pride.
It was amazing, and we all,
Jessica went nuts.
She goes, I'm freaking out, but we all shook their hands. It's an honor to meet you that your son is the skipper of this bronze team that just went to the international.
And they were so nice, they were like, we'll call him over here. I said, what?
Then I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Jess almost
threw
up.
I'm like, we're three idiots from L.A. You don't have to call him over here.
We're three drunk idiots from L.A. I said that, I mean, we all said that would be so cool. If that actually happened.
Yeah. And then we all took a picture.
Oh, and then she went and did it and got him. And then we're taking a picture with the skipper from the Scotland international team.
And he looked like, he was funny because he wasn't sure how to, either, there was two, the expression on his face was either two things. It was either, I don't want to take a picture with these drunk assholes, or it was, I'm not that famous. What is going on right here? I don't understand. This is weird and blowing my mind. Because this is the first time the family's ever been probably out of Scotland in a major way.
Well, they said the first time in the United States.
The first time in the States.
But hold on.
And Vegas, too, which blows your mind for the first time you've come from another country.
Yeah, but they were supporting their son. But I'll tell you what, that when we were talking to them, when he came over, the skipper came over, and we're talking to them, people were walking by, shaking his hand, going, oh, good job, congratulations. Yeah. Like, he was recognized, man.
Well, because everybody there in the casino at that point had come from the matches. I mean, everybody who was staying... That Orleans is packed with fans.
I thought that
was packed
cool.
with curling fans. And, well, that was the thing. The curling fans, you get to... You realize it's... These are they know all of these players because they're huge fans, and that's what that's their favorite sport, and they watch it all the time. And it's not a big, you know, big sport, so you kind of, I think when you go to some of these events, they're probably a lot smaller. If it's not the championship like it was in Vegas, it's probably a lot smaller where you're interacting with a lot more of these people, so you get to recognize them more and more.
Yeah, but it might be a big sport, just not
maybe not here. Yeah. It seemed like it was bigger in Scotland. Didn't you get the impression that, like, he's seven, he's doing it, so it's got to be something like a baseball or...
Look how many Canadians were there, man.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the huge thing for them. It's like they're...
So they have two ice sports, curling, hockey and curling.
Yeah, but their celebrities are like our basketball celebrities, and I think it's just different culture, man. I think those people are celebrities there, just like our baseball, basketball, and golf or whatever. I think they're just as big celebrities there than those people are here for us.
Yeah, I think probably... I would say...
I don't know. There's something to
I would say I probably not. I think they're probably like... third tier in the sports level. I think it's like there's Major League Baseball in Canada, which is, you know, you got Toronto Blue Jays and all that.
You got Toronto Raptors guys. Just made the playoffs. Yeah,
right.
I get it.
Yeah, see what I'm saying? Like then you got, I would say, maybe some of the more normal.
But I think the curlers are more prevalent elsewhere than they are here. That's
correct. Correct. As well, it's like, you know, if you're an international soccer player.
Oh, yeah.
It's completely different.
Completely.
Yeah, people recognize you around the world.
And that's the difference between what we saw, is this was an international competition,
right.
Not an American competition. I thought that was brilliant.
And that was what was fun, too, was you get to see and you get to interact with all these people from around the world. And these are the greatest in their sport coming to this one place to do it. And that's, I think, one of the things about... It wasn't just like going, hey, you guys want to get together and go watch them curling over here at the LA Rec Center. There's a team or whatever playing. I think you're seeing the top players play. Yeah. And it's probably the same. You know, I've never been to a golf, like a pro golf thing. But have you gone to a pro golf?
I've been to two U.S. Opens, one at Pebble Beach and one
right.
at Torrey Pines.
And when you watch them play live.
It's amazing.
It's completely different.
It's completely different.
And you go, my game sucked ass.
Well, if we're talking about my game, in every aspect,
right, it's
not good.
Yeah, overall the weekend. But I tell you, you know, here's another advice. It's one word: pace. You got to pace yourself when you go to Vegas.
Oops.
Yeah. Yeah. Boy.
But I got one word for you. Oops.
Yeah. But that was a lot of fun, and
it was.
You know, it's. I think that's what you got to do in life nowadays is to do some of those things you would never think you were going to go do and go watch. Like, why not go and do it? And you might blow your mind. It might be more fun
exactly,
than
you think. Exactly, Randy, you said it best, and Jessica's freaking out. You said, never did you think a few years back the three of us would be freaking out over meeting a curling Scotland skipper.
I know.
Freaking out.
All right, so about 5-6 years ago, I didn't never know what the hell you're fucking talking about in the first place. But yeah, I mean, to go, wow, that was cool. I got a picture with him. Can I get a bigger picture? You know, I mean,
I'm still freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, it was overall, it was some of the most fun I've had out there, you know, because it was just getting together and exploring and doing fun things outside of all the gambling bullshit.
Gambling.
You know, like, yeah. You're doing the other stuff.
You're
going to
do that in between anyway.
Yeah,
so you might as
there,
well do something different is what your advice is, and I think
yeah, like
great.
Drop $200 on a poker tournament that I lose in 30 minutes. But hey, that's okay. But the funny thing is, as we, you know, I'm going, I know how to do it now. You know, you go and you go like, oh, I'm giving you all this advice. Like, take the bottled water and do all this stuff. But as I've noticed, we're getting...
You won't do any of this.
But we're doing
matter.
All this drinking and we're partying like we're 27, but we all pull out our reading glasses. There's like three of us sitting around trying to look at a piece of paper.
I think I bet on Rory McIlroy, but I can't read my ticket.
So I was at the sports book, and so I go to get... They have the sheets of paper, which give the odds, and I was going to go look at the NFL college one. Well, the printing font size on that one is like an 8. It's so tiny, and I didn't have any reading glasses, so I couldn't read. So I put it in my pocket for later because there's no. I couldn't hold it far enough away from my face for me to read it. That's when you know you're getting really, really old. I'm telling you.
It doesn't mean you still can't gamble. Just bring your glasses. There's your other Vegas advice.
Oh, I can see the cards. You know,
I can see the cards.
Well, because they put them, print them really big, because everybody's older playing. So, you know, but overall it was fun. So, Bill, thanks for coming on the show and talking about it all. Hope you enjoyed yourself.
I had a blast. Thanks for having me, and go curling.
I will put some links if people don't know what the hell we're talking about. I'm going to put some pictures, 30mch.com. You can find me there. You can find the show at Facebook. Please follow us on Facebook. It's real easy, 30mch, 30mch. Twitter, it's 30min_cocktail_hr. So follow us on Twitter as well. And like I said, I'll put the pictures up. And once you do all that, you can subscribe on iTunes, which would be great, because then it automatically will show up. Also, Pod Player on a lot of the apps and stuff, so your iPhone has it. Thanks for listening. Join us next week for, well, who knows, more cocktails and bullshit to talk about. But we'll see you.